Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
It's Wednesday, the morning we speak with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lassenberry about what's going on in state politics. Well, Jack, yesterday marked the start of Detroit's bankruptcy trial. What are you looking out for in the weeks ahead as this trial proceeds?
Well, there's a possibility, of course, that the city will come to a settlement with the two major creditors who are opposing the bankruptcy filing, but we can't assume that, and this is going to be a long and very, very complex trial. It will go at least till the middle of October. There may be more than 80 witnesses, and after that, the trial is scheduled to go as late as October 17th. We don't know how long it will take bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes to rule or how he will rule.
And what's on the table in terms of assets in the Detroit Institute of Arts when it comes to this trial and the grand bargain?
Well, that's a key question. Nobody really agrees on how much really fungible assets there are. The grand bargain, of course, was an agreement whereby the DIA, its donors, and the state of Michigan and a bunch of private foundations kicked in more than $800 million. The idea was that this would go into the pension funds to shore them up, and in return, the Detroit Institute of Art would be held harmless. Its art wouldn't be subject to being sold to pay the creditors. Creditors are challenging that. The estimates of how much the art would bring if it was sold range anywhere from a little over $1 billion to $8 billion. Some of this art, however, was given under terms whereby it couldn't be sold, and lawsuits would certainly be filed, and it would be a mess.
And as it stands right now, what's at stake for pensioners?
Well, under the grand bargain, of course, the creditors are complaining that the pensioners got a much better deal than they did, but the pensioners themselves are sort of smarting. The police and fire pensioners are better off, but their cost of living increases with inflation was severely capped, and everybody else had to give back a big chunk of their pension money, 4.5%. Plus, they have to give back some other money. There's sort of a complicated deal about overpayment of funds in the past, and they get no cost of living increases at all, which means that if inflation becomes significant again, their value of their pensions will be severely reduced, and they're going to be reduced a little bit every year anyway. But again, if the judge rejects the grand bargain, rejects the bankruptcy settlement, it's open season, everybody will be in court, and the pensioners may end up with much less.
And finally, Detroit's bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes also heard arguments yesterday on a request to stop Detroit from shutting off water to customers with unpaid bills. He didn't make a ruling before adjourning in the trial yesterday, but why is Rhodes getting involved in this issue?
Well, because everything is part of everything when it comes to the city of Detroit, and of course there's been controversy over the water system, whether it should be privatized, whether a new agreement between the city and the suburbs get water from Detroit. Detroit's always sort of controlled the system. That's been sort of a sore point. So the city got sort of egg on its face by cutting off water to people a few months ago in sort of a cavalier kind of fashion. They say they refine their techniques. They're giving people lots of warning, but there are people who think that nobody's water should be shut off ever. On the other hand, the water system is in debt. There are bills to be paid. Again, all of this is extremely complex.
Well, Jack, we will stay tuned with you for updates on the bankruptcy trial in Detroit. Thanks so much for your insights.
My pleasure.
Jack Lassenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.